Part 4, Chapter 6. Johnny laid down his book and stood, stretching. There was more than a smell of spring in the air. The snow had run off and only lingered in shady places. The air was crystal, the sky a beautiful blue. There was a surging tension in his limbs and muscles. It was one thing to be cooped up in winter. It was quite another to sit in a cage in spring. He saw what had distracted him a few moments before. Turl drove up to the cage gate in a long, sleekly gleaming black tank. It purred quietly, hiding awesome power behind its gun muzzles and slitted ports. Turl bounded out and the ground shook. He was very jovial.
Get your clothes on, animal. We're going for a drive.
Johnny was dressed in buckskin.
No. Clothes, not hides. You'll stink up my new ground car. How do you like it?
Johnny was suddenly alert. Turl asking for opinion or admiration was not the Turl he knew.
I'm dressed,
said Johnny. Turl was unhooking the leash from the cage.
Oh, well, what's the difference? I can stand it if you can. Get your air mask. You'll be inside. And I'm damned if I'll drive around in one. Bring your clubs, too.
Now Johnny was alert. He put on a belt and a pouch with flints and the bits of glass for cutting. He put the thong of the kill club over his wrist. Turl checked the air bottles and playfully snapped the elastic of Johnny's mask as he put it on him.
Now get in, animal, get in! Some ground car, eh?
Indeed it was, thought Johnny, as the gunner's seat engulfed him. Blazing purple fabric, gleaming instrument panel, and shining control buttons.
I checked her all out for remotes,
said Turl. He laughed and laughed at his joke as he climbed in.
You know what I'm referring to, Rat Brain? No over the cliff on fire today.
He hit a button and the doors closed and sealed. He turned on the breathe gas louvers and the atmosphere changed in a blink.
Crap, were you stupid?
He laughed some more. The ground car went hurtling toward the open, 4 feet above the earth, accelerating to 200 miles per hour in a breath, almost breaking Johnny's spine. Turl unsnapped his face mask and threw it aside.
You see those doors? Don't ever hit a latch or try to open one when I'm not wearing a mask, animal. This thing would wreck with no driver.
Johnny looked at the latches and buttons and noted the information carefully. What a good idea.
Where are we going?
Oh, just to drive. Seeing the sights.
Johnny doubted that. He was watching every control action Turl was making. He could identify most of the levers and buttons already. They sped north, and then in a long curve headed south of west. Despite the blur of speed, Johnny could see they were following some ancient, grass-overgrown highway. By the sun, he marked their course. Through the heavily plated gunner's slits, he could see a mass of ancient buildings and a field. A high mountain lay beyond. A range lay to the west. The ground car slowed and drew up a distance from the largest building. Johnny looked at the desolate scene of ruin. Turl reached into the ground car bar and drew himself a small pan of kerbango. He drank it off and smacked his mouth bones and belched. Then he put on his face mask and hit the door button.
Well, get out and see the sights!
Johnny shut off his air and removed his mask. Turl flipped the leash to give it length, and Johnny got out. He looked around. In a nearby field, there were some mounds of what had been machines, perhaps. The structures before him were impressive. Near where they stood was a sort of trench, long overgrown, curving. The grass was tall, and the wind from the mountains moaned lonesomely.
What was this place?
Turl stood with his elbow braced against the top of the car, indolent, very casual.
Animal, You are looking at the primary defense base of this planet during the days of man.
Yes?
Prompted Johnny. Turl reached into the car and brought out a Chinko guidebook and threw it at him. A page was marked. It said, "A short distance from the mine site lies an impressive military ruin. 13 days after the Cyclo attack, a handful of men stood off a Cyclo tank for over 3 hours using primitive weapons. It was the last resistance that was overcome by the Cyclos." That was all it said. Johnny looked around. Turl pointed at the curved trench.
"It happened right here,"
he said with a sweep of his paw.
"Look."
He dealt out more leash. Johnny crept over to the trench. It was hard to see where it began and ended. It had some stones in front of it. The grass was very tall, moving in the wind.
"Look good,"
said Turl. Johnny moved down into the trench, and then he saw it. Although a great time had passed, there were scraps of metal that had been guns. And there were scraps of uniforms, mainly buried, hardly more than impressions. Suddenly he was gripped by the vision of desperate men, fighting valiantly, hopelessly. He glanced across the field before the trench and could almost see the Cyclo tank coming on, withdrawing, coming on, battering them at last to death. Johnny's heart rose, swelled in his chest. Blood hammered in his ears. Turl leaned indolently against the car.
"Seen enough?
Why have you shown me this?"
Turl barked a laugh behind his mask.
"So you won't get any ideas, animal. This was the number one defense base of the planet. And just one measly Cyclo tank knocked it to bits in a wink. Got it?"
That wasn't what Johnny had gotten. Turl, who couldn't read English, had not read the still plain letters on the building. Those letters said, "United States Air Force Academy."
"Well, put on your mask and get in. We have other things to do today."
Johnny got in. It had not been the primary defense base. It was just a school. And that handful of men had been schoolboys, cadets. And they'd had the guts to stand off a Cyclo tank, outgunned, hopeless, for 3 hours. As they moved off, Johnny looked back at the trench. His people. Men. He found it hard to breathe. They had not died tamely. They had fought.